gazing. Let's pray, shall we? Let's pray for this wonderful man. Oh, Lord Jesus, we so thank you for Daniel, Lord Jesus, Lord. We thank you for your call on his life, Lord God. We thank you for the word you've put in his heart for us today, Lord Jesus. And we just simply pray your anointing, your grace over him in bringing this message to us today, Lord God. And we pray for our own hearts, Lord. Give us ears to hear what you're saying to each one of us, Lord, and hearts ready and willing to respond, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Just going to do a rap for you real quick. Okay. Ready? No, I'm joking. Not really. Maybe next time. Sorry. They all believed me. Next week. Yeah. All right. Sorry, I'm just opening up this app. Yeah. So today I'm going to be talking about loving one another, why it's important, and yeah, basically the ins and outs of all of that. To start, I mean, I think at New Day, it was quite interesting because we went there, and obviously, like, there's a load of churches from all over the country, and they've got all these, like, amazing names, like, you know, the King's Conquerors of Southampton, and, like, maybe even Vineyard or something like that. Sorry, Tom, it's not sliding. But, yeah. But then there was us, like the church in Bassett Street, like just really kind of simple kind of thing. And I was thinking about it, I was like, oh, it kind of reminds me of like when, was it Nathaniel? Was it Philip went to Nathaniel, right? Or Philip went to, Nathaniel went to Philip. I can't remember now. And I wrote this down as well. But he was like, oh, we found the one that Moses was talking about in the scriptures kind of thing. And he's like, oh, where's he from? And he says, oh, it's Nazareth. He's like, no, it's Nazareth. That's like, there's nothing flashy about Nazareth. And I was thinking, well, you know, it's kind of similar for us here at Bassett Street. Like, where the church in Bassett Street, where's that? Oh, Queen's Crescent. Like, Queen's Crescent. Like, can anything good come from Queen's Crescent? But, like, kind of thing. But, I'm here to try and convince us that yes, it can if we just trust in God. My central scripture for today is from 1 Peter 4, verse 8. It says, above all things, love one another. I'm going to be talking about love today. And the love that is quite demonstrative in action and definition. Before we go any further as well, I'd like to point out that love primarily is a fruit and it's not a gift. A gift is something that is given, and it can't be earned or worked for, but a fruit is something that is cultivated over time. Like in Luke's talk, we learned that guy that grows grapes for his wine press and stuff. Fruit takes time and it takes work, but the reward is great, right? So love is a fruit. Fruit also tells us what kind of tree it is as well. We learned that a couple of weeks back. And so gifts pertain to ability, but fruit pertains to character. And so we're talking about the character of Bassett Street Church, right? And we want our character to be love because we serve the God of compassion, right? So love is of the utmost importance in the Christian faith. And God is always expecting to see this fruit. Again, going back to Luke's talk 3 weeks ago, it's the importance of abiding in the vine of Jesus, basically. And the most paramount fruit that we can produce when we are attached to Jesus is love. I was finishing a session over in Chalk Farm. I'd just finished like working out or something, and a thought popped into my mind. I believe this was God talking to me because it was in preparation to the talk. And he said, like, love is based to the church. Love is like breathing. If you don't breathe, you're dead, right? It's the same way. If we don't obey God's commands If we're not loving one another, we're dead. There's no point us being together. That's not the point. It's all about love. But let's go back to the first scripture. Yeah, that's fine. That's right. I didn't want that bit, but doesn't matter. And as we can see, it's a command, isn't it? It's a command. It's not a choice. It's not an option. It's not a sometimes. It's not a if you feel like it, love one another. God is expecting us to obey this command. This is our character. This is going to be character building as well as we go forward as a church. It's funny because like the eyes are the window to the soul, and sometimes like obviously you saw Mina today running around. And Nick was praying once and I was trying to get her to be quiet, right? And so I was like, oh, Mina, look, just calm down, Nick's praying. And she just turned and looked at me and went, you be quiet, why are you looking at me like that kind of thing? And I thought, at the time, I thought it was really funny, but I had to try and hold my look like and just be really firm with her. But it was like a face-off. She was just looking at me like, and she could see I was kind of cracking. But then I held it together and I was like, no, Mina, come on, shh, be quiet kind of thing. But it's again, that like that's coming over years of spending time with her and stuff. And like she knows who I am and she knows what makes me laugh. She knows what doesn't when I'm upset. And Peter, obviously, spending time with Jesus would have been able to read his face. And there's a very prominent kind of incident where we're going to look at now where Peter denies Jesus. And Jesus takes a look at him. So yeah, Jesus is about to, you know, be taken away to get crucified. And, he's at the courtyard of the high priests. And Peter follows from afar, obviously, because, you know, it's his master. He's like, oh, what's going to happen? And so he's in the courtyard, probably wearing a hood like this, trying to disguise himself, looking onward. And then the little girl comes up to him. She's like, I know you were there, weren't you? You were with him. And then he starts swearing and cussing, saying, I didn't know the guy. I don't know him. She's like, no, you were there. And he gets louder and more profane. It's like, I don't know him. I don't know him. I'm not going to swear now because obviously we're in church. Not that I swear anyway, okay? But yeah, you get the picture. And she's like, no, look, your accent gives it away. You must be from Queen's Crescent. No, you must be. Yeah, you're from the same area. And then just before the officials take him away, Jesus turns and looks at Peter with a look that I believe says, even though you've just denied me, even though I've heard you swearing and cussing, saying you don't know me, I still love you. I'm still going to give my life for you. Does anyone play any sports here? Yeah? Anyone else? We have only got one guy that plays sport in the church. You play sport, you play sport. What do you play, Alpha? What do you play? Football? Yeah. I mean, have you ever played with someone that, like, you know, when you, like, I don't know, if you miss a goal or you miss an opportunity and they kind of stare at you and they're, what are you doing? Yeah, we all know it. In the heat of the moment, yeah? Yeah, exactly. And maybe not just in sport. Maybe it's, like, in the home. If you forgot to do the dishes or left the laundry in, yeah? Some people might even wait. Some people might even wait until they can get eye contact with you and they're yeah. But that's in all of us, isn't it? That's in all of us. But not in Jesus. Not in him. He's not like that. You know? So I mean, if you're feeling far from God today, I just want to encourage you that Jesus isn't looking at you like that today. If you're feeling like, you know, you've been walking with him, but you've messed up, his look is there that welcomes you back with loving eyes. When you read Mark's account of these events, it's quite interesting because the other accounts, like was it Matthew, Luke, and John, they don't include the part that Peter was swearing and cussing. But Peter specifically like instructs Mark to get it down. They need to know the lengths I went to deny Jesus, to say I didn't know him. I was swearing, I was cussing at the man. Mark, get this down. I was swearing and cussing at him. I never knew him and the way he looked at me. And that's the same for us, isn't it? Like, again, yet while we suppress the truth of God in our hearts, we might even blaspheme God. We might even gossip against each other. Christ died for us. He's so good. And again, I think that's where we reach the second half of the verse. For love will cover a multitude of sins. I was only going to talk about the first bit, but that's what it is, isn't it? His grace, his love, his example covering a multitude of our sins. It's so powerful. Again, even after the swearing and cussing, I never knew the man. Jesus still goes to the cross, gives his life for him. Jesus still prays for him that his faith wouldn't fail. You can read in the account of Luke chapter 22, they're having a conversation like, okay, that's great. Yeah. All right, Jesus, so what's happening next? Yeah, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. He's like, what? I'm not denying. I would never deny you. He's like, yeah. 3 times, bro. 3 times. Even if I have to die and go to prison, I will never deny you. Jesus is like, all right, mate. Anyway, once you come back to me, make sure you strengthen your brethren. Make sure you strengthen your brothers, okay? Peter's probably thinking, like, I've just told the guy, like, I'm not going to deny him. And he's telling me, like, what's wrong with you? Anyway, but, and in this was a very important point that Jesus was making, because he knew that Peter would be back. And he knew that he was going to take Peter through something and be there to welcome him back on the other side. And it's for our benefit as well, not just Peter's. Yeah, when Jesus appeared to his disciples after the resurrection, he restored Peter's faith by asking him again, do you love me? Do you love me? Again, that uncomfortable moment with Jesus. Like, I just told the guy, like, yeah, I love him 3 times. What's the problem here? The problem was, the contention wasn't necessarily faith. It was about love, wasn't it? And it was by love that Jesus restores Peter's faith. He says, now that I know that you love me, go and strengthen your brothers. This is at the end now. This is when he's risen again. I know you love me. Now that you've experienced firsthand, even when you deny me, you swear at me, you cuss, you don't know me, and my loving arms are still there for you, I'm still here for you. Now that you've experienced that, go and tell everybody to love each other in exactly the same way. Not just God, each other. This is important. This is character building for us at Bassett Street. So loving one another clearly carries power. And it's this sacrificial love, this demonstration of this love. It's not necessarily a huge miracle, is it? And this could be the way that you may restore someone else's faith. Just by loving in that kind of adverse moment where someone isn't being kind to you. Where someone pretends that they don't know you. When they marginalize you. It's for us to show the love of God in those situations and to each other. Let's be honest, like church, sometimes we can get on each other's nerves, right? Let's put it mildly. But We've got to love each other. Just that we've got a living example. A living example. Jesus isn't dead, he's alive. You know? Anyway, let me get back to my talk. Sorry. Above all things, have love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. This is what church is. Covering one another in love. Fervently loving one another. You know, there's a buzz phrase about being invested in one another. Man, this is what it is. Invest your life in someone else. And this is the fruit that Jesus is looking for in his bride when he returns. It's imperative that we learn to abide in Christ. And how do we know that we're abiding in him? When we're fruitful. What is the fruit? The primary fruit. That's it. Love. This is it. This is how we know that we're in Christ. If you love me, you obey my commands, Jesus said. And this is the thing that Jesus is looking for. This is the evidence of a believer, to disciple. We can stay in that realm where we believe in Jesus. We think, yeah, he's a nice guy. He's a good bloke. He taught a few good things. But when we hear his voice, listen and obey, that's when we're on the road with him as disciples, isn't it? And he's always there to affirm us in that love. It's dangerous as well, staying away in that kind of, well, I can sometimes listen to God and sometimes listen to our emotions, because the problem is with that is we can start to create God, an image of God in our own minds. An image of God that says, no, it's okay to be angry and be harmful back. You're justified in your anger. That's not what our God says. That's not the example of love that Jesus has set us, isn't it? So let's go to John 15:9-12. If you've got Bibles, you can turn there. Obviously, it's going to be up there. It says, as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And it's interesting that in that same way we love one another as Jesus loves us, in the same way that we learn to sort of obey what Jesus is saying to us and his commands, there's a joy that rises up in our hearts. There's a fortitude and a strength that no one can take away. The early disciples, they had this. Like if you look at, for example, when Peter was crucified. Now he was the type of person originally to resist, wasn't he? With force. He was the type of person that would have put up a fight. But by then, his joy in the Lord was so strong. His love for God and love for others and dedication to the body of Christ was so strong. He said, I'm getting crucified. Okay. Upside down, please. Upside down, what do you mean? Yeah, upside down. I don't need to be the same way up as my Lord. You mean you're not going to resist? No, that's fine. It's fine. That's what this does to us. It creates something so strong on the inside. And we can go to the source and we can look at Jesus on the cross. Even there, nothing stopped him from loving. Even there. Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. Also, when John and Mary were there, John, this is your mum, look, take care of her. Mary, this is your son, take care. Still had time to look after his family, still had time to show love, even on the cross. I'm not sure about you, but I'm just trying to breathe up there. excruciating pain, and that's all that was on his mind. This is what loving one another does. That your joy may be full. And this is what he wants for us here at Bassett Street, that our joy may be full. And Peter got it. He knew that this is what he needed to say to strengthen the church. Above all things, love one another. The Apostle John also got it as well. Like, church tradition tells us that they used to carry him to church as an old man. And they used to get him to encourage him. Like, well, John, you got anything for us today? You going to say something profound? Love one another, my little children. That's all he would say and sit back down again. Love one another. Why is it always love one another? Because when you do this, everything else falls into line. Everything else hangs on this. Let's go to 1 John 4:7-11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifest towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. I looked at that word propitiation because, like, it kind of like blindsided me a little bit. But what it means, and Nick can probably verify as an English teacher, I hope I get this right, it means to appease someone, right? So say if you got someone that's angry, and rightly so, and someone that owes the angry person something, someone else. This is an example, maybe, of someone being a propitiation. Someone self steps in and says, okay, who give them a gift in order to calm them down. The Father gave Jesus for us. God is holy, right? He's always going to be holy. And his attitude to sin will never change. But we have Jesus. He's given us Jesus. He's also good. He's also loving. If God showed his love by doing this for us, this is what church is about, isn't it? This is what we're supposed to be doing. If we're not doing this, we're missing the mark. And he's rightly so. He's angry, rightly so. He can then be justified in his anger with us. I've showed you how to love. Why are you not doing it? Why did you not do it? Let's look at Matthew 7:21-23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So obviously these people that he's referring to in the passage didn't really love God, they loved themselves. They were out for selfish gain. I'm here to tell you that I don't want anyone to receive those words when we enter the kingdom. I never knew you. You spent all that time going to church on Sundays, going to the prayer meetings, going out preaching to people, serving teas and coffees, playing in the worship band, but we didn't love. Those are the words that you'll be met with. That is not our portion at Bassett Street. It can't be. It cannot be. Let's go to 1 John 3:18-19. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. So love gives us an assurance, doesn't it? Loving one another and loving God, giving ourselves to God wholeheartedly and to each other, gives us an assurance that we're not going to be met with those words, "I never knew you." It's going to be, "Oh, Raywin, we've been expecting you. Come here, I've got a mansion for you just over there." Love one another. Above all things, love one another. Again, a great example of how we've been loving one another is, at the moment, is obviously I can see William sitting in the middle of the church there, and just how everybody's just got round him and his family, and, you know, fed them, like meals, so organized, and everything is, it's been amazing to watch. I can see it, like, I'm cooking lasagna, I'm going to cook this, I'm going to do that, no, I can't make this, all for one family. That's church. That's church. It really is. That's like Steph would say, this is the stuff. This is the stuff that we want to be made of here at Bassett Street. I know it's hard sometimes to love, right? Again, I don't know if I shared this before about the first time I met my dad in a long time at my grand's 80th, but that really wasn't easy for me. It wasn't easy initially, let's say. But if it wasn't for the love of Jesus in my heart, I couldn't have faced that head on. But I did. And it was only because of the love of Jesus. It was him that was made me able to hug the guy. It was him that was made me able to embrace my younger brothers, which I've never met before. And God's trying to reach them as well. You know? And as a result, now I have a reputation in the family as being like the church guy. You know? The Bible ute, as they call me. God's made his way into that situation. And he wants to love. He wants to show them his love. Let's not lean on our emotions. Let's not get swayed by these things. It goes against the very thing that Jesus dies for sometimes. In fact, I'd say, like, God puts us in these tricky situations just so he can teach us, so we learn about him. He puts us in these situations so he can prune us, so we can bear more fruit, like Barbara was saying about mountains. Yeah, we are more than overcomers. That's right, isn't it? This is what this love does. He wants more fruit. He wants more love. So going back to the beginning of my talk, I mentioned Bassett Street and the character of Bassett Street. And obviously, the church in Bassett Street is not, you know, our character's not in our name. We're not in a fancy area. This is Queen's Crescent. It's not Kensington, right? But what we want really from the people in the area is to look at us and say, look at those people at Bassett Street, those Christians, look how they love each other. That's what they used to say in the early church days. Look at those Christians, look how they love each other. That's the character of our church, isn't it? So yeah, let's put away selfish gain. Let's forgive one another. If we've got a gripe against God in any way, let's repent. Let's muck in together. Let's do life together, loving one another and loving the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we bless you and we thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus, Lord. We thank you that he's the only person, you are the only God that we've seen that made himself a man, that came down and met with us, Lord, that walked among us, Lord. in such a heavenly way. Lord, demonstrating your love in everything that you do. Lord, you taught us that faith works through love, Lord God. Help our faith, our trust in you to work through this love that you've shown us in everything that we do, in every single area, Lord. Tricky family situations, Lord. Work situations, Lord God. Lord, outreach, whatever it may be, Lord. Let love be the motive, Lord. And again, with one another, Lord. You know the situations in Bassett Street. You know the complexities of relationships and politics and this and that and the other. Lord, we're sorry. Lord, we repent for all the nonsense, Lord, that's gone before. And we want to love, Lord. We want to love one another, Lord. We want to love you with everything that we have, Lord. Please help us. Holy Spirit, please help us. In your name, amen.
Thanks, Daniel. Fantastic. I was just reminded of years ago when I worked for a housing association. For some reason, I got called into this group where they were talking about how to improve customer service, which can always be a bit of a challenge in housing. They paid a consultant to advise them on this. And one of the things the consultant came up with was that if your customer service staff feel cared for by you as an organisation, they will be better able to offer good customer service to your customers. And I thought, have we really just paid somebody to state what to me seemed to be the blindingly obvious? But it just reminded me with Daniel's talk that, you know, we have been so loved, haven't we? We are so loved. You know, that we have been loved with the richest of love. We have been loved with a love that has been practically kind of demonstrated in a way that is just completely mind-blowing. And so his call that we should love, you know, that's what empowers us to love, isn't it? That's what enables us to love, the fact that we are so very, very loved. So I'm just gonna end the meeting there, but we're not ending the meeting here.
Sorry, I'm not really good with public appearances, but I just wanted to say after Daniel's talk, I'm relatively new to church. I joined in April with my daughter. And what Daniel was saying about church and people, about love, I really do feel loved, and we met so many wonderful people. So I just wanted to say that you, as a community, as a church, you should be really proud of yourselves. I'm a reserved person, so I don't know all of you by names. It's kind of hard for me to go out and speak, pray out loud. I'm coming from Catholic Church, so we didn't do that. As well as a building, you know, it's quite, what's the word? Simple. Again, coming from Catholic Church, where it's gold and paintings all over there. But that's not what matters. I feel so much home here because of the people, not of the building. So I just wanted to say yes. Thank you very much for being so loving and so caring, so wonderful. And yes, I'm so happy for Liz because she brought me here, and even for my daughter, she's having time of her life every Sunday. So thank you.
Thank you so much. That's wonderfully encouraging. Thank you so much. That's really lovely. Let's just close in prayer, shall we? Let's, Lord Jesus, we just say thank you. Lord, where do we begin? Lord, again, thank you seems to be such a tiny thing to say, Lord, to you for all that you've done for us, Lord. And again, would you, Holy Spirit, we thank you, Holy Spirit of God.
Spirit of love, Spirit of grace, we pray, would you be all the more free to move amongst us, Lord Jesus, to move in us. And Lord, our big prayer is that we, this precious love you have put into our hearts, would affect this community around us, Lord Jesus. We're not just here for ourselves, Lord God. We're here for the people around us, Lord God. They need you so much. And we pray for this precious love, that it would spill out of this place, Lord. Spill out of this community, spill out of our hearts, Lord Jesus, to touch the lives of people around us, Lord. Amen.